Chapter 5. Reuniting with Steve should have been a sweet moment. Time to reconnect, share some memories of their manly cabin bonding, perhaps. Maybe exchange a quick handy to celebrate. But nope. No such luck. Instead, Eddie had pulled an Uno reverse and tried to decapitate the guy. When he'd registered it was Steve he was threatening, his back had hit the wall so fast it's a wonder he didn't cut him anyway by mistake. Steve had been looking at him with his big, Care Bear, deer-in-the-woods gaze. He'd held out a hand to guide him forward from the wall of the shack and then just kept pulling until Eddie was nestled in his arms. When he muttered into Eddie's ear, his voice was low and vicious. "I'm so fucking sorry, man. About all of it." And Eddie had just hugged back because, at that point, Steve's embrace was the only thing keeping him on his feet. So, Steve was back, but everything was a mess. A living nightmare. Worse than, even. They'd have to invent new words to encompass how fucking awful things were. The way that poor Chrissy... Jesus. Even after, when he was panicking, running away, losing his mind and wondering if it was gone for good this time, he still had that one stray thought that the sounds of bones breaking made him think of Steve Harrington in that cabin. And he was proud that this time he didn't puke. But he did cry. Later, in the boathouse with the kids around him and Robin sending him crooked, sympathetic smiles, with Steve back, one of his arms tucking Eddie to his side, he knew that he was in good fucking hands. He just wished they'd been a day earlier so Chrissy Cunningham would have had a chance to feel that same relief. Whenever his spirits rose even an inch, the image of her blanked out eyes would bring the guilt in his chest to a rolling boil and melt away any progress. The only two things tethering him were the weight of Steve's arm and the insistent reminder that he was living for two now instead of just himself. The guilt wouldn't bring her back, but it felt right to have it. Hold it in his hands and mother it a little. She was just a fucking kid. If Eddie let himself think about it for too long, the world would fade to white noise around him. Nothing left but buzzing and terror and breaking bones. Then Steve would shift his arm and Eddie would snap back to reality. It's amazing how fast Eddie learned to understand the jagged parts of Steve that had baffled him so deeply less than a year ago. The blistering paranoia, how the only reprieve seemed to be other people who had seen and felt and heard the same things. And how things like dying, like killing, got so intimate with each other that they just bled into a singular, raw need to survive. Steve being there helped. Existing alongside Steve again was like taking a breath after staying underwater too long. It was almost the same as 85, except this time, the one doing the saving was Steve. And Dustin, obviously. Oh, and the rest of the kids and Robin and Nancy were saving him too, sure. Eddie might have been a little biased. Once they named the thing Vecna, a la another thing in this life that was going to have weird traumatic associations, Eddie got the whole story. The whole actual story that had been plaguing his sleepless nights since last year. Alternating with the other sleepless nights, of course, wherein film reel style close-ups of Steve murmuring, "You gonna help me out, Munson?" and pulling him in closer to the V of his legs kept Eddie up in every sense of the word. Until the early hours. The amount of viscerally sexy Steve material he'd absorbed over those 4 days could fill a set of door-to-door encyclopedias. Not just a single letter, either. The entire fucking alphabet. Shirtless Steve. Bloody shirtless Steve. Steve pulling him flush against him and grasping his dick with a wicked smirk. That one might have been an extrapolation. and he'd left his hair ties at home. Shame. So, anyway, the story came out. He learned all about the otherworldly fantasy campaign horseshit that had been investing their town for years. While Eddie was just living there, completely unaware. The festering boil of hell was right under all their asses, and he'd been worrying about passing biology. Life was a fucking trip, huh? After Chrissy, Eddie's days became a whirlwind of snap decisions and mad scrambles that put Steve's calm in the face of homicidal Russians into undeniable context. Turns out, when you're properly terrified, you don't even have time to look like you're properly terrified. Your little monkey instincts go into warp drive and you just move. Then later, once the danger passes, the terror doesn't even really hit until you stop moving completely. And then it hits hard. He remembered the first days as if he was a kid again, trying to read a book on a road trip. Like it's night and he's waiting for the next streetlight to pass and illuminate the page just right so he could grasp the next few words. The scenes came to him in flashes that he could pass together, but it was a struggle to see them as a single, solid picture. A lot of the time, he just thought about Wayne. Eddie had never been perfect, but his shit hadn't reached Wayne before. Not like this. It was the one thing he'd been trying desperately to avoid. And even when he was hiding at Lover's Lake, wondering if he was going to die by monster or mob, above all else, he felt sick because of Wayne. Wayne, who didn't know where he was. Wayne, who was pale and stricken when Eddie came home after missing curfew once because another kid he didn't even know had gone missing weeks earlier. Wayne didn't deserve any of this shit. And all Eddie wanted to do was make it back home at the end of this and guarantee that he fucking knew it. So Eddie ducked and dodged and hid and ran. And whenever the stars would align, Steve would be there too, and Eddie would feel his HP regenerating slowly from his sexy healing aura. Which was definitely not a barbarian thing. Maybe Steve was multiclassing. He lived for the moments that time would slow down just because Steve bumped their shoulders together, savoured when they brushed fingertips while passing a flashlight or sharing a shaky cigarette. Tiny moments scattered through the terror that gave Eddie a millisecond to fucking breathe. And really, one of the only remaining constants in Eddie's life was that he was still totally gone on Steve Harrington. It wasn't a shock considering how often Eddie and his hand had reminisced on his and Steve's shared experiences, but this was a totally different ballgame. Actually talking to the guy again? Regularly being in his presence? Inherently erotic and emotionally compromising. For a minute at the very start, he thought he'd be fine. Just some sexually charged bottle assaults between bros, yeah? Eddie was going strong. He was coping with the brave new world that had opened up before him and was focused on someday returning to a life with some semblance of order and familiarity. And, ideally, fewer murder allegations. Then Steve Harrington would do something ridiculous, like take his entire shirt off on a boat and dive into a lake to save them all, and Eddie would go, oh wait, oh shit. Well, it was technically a reconnaissance mission, but the thought was there. Then, if that wasn't bad enough, Eddie, Robin and Nancy followed after just in time to see Steve Harrington standing there, biting the head off a demon bat. With his shirt off. Still. It cannot be overemphasised how few shirts he was wearing at the time of this event. Steve was rocking more chest hair this year and Eddie wanted to nestle against it like a bear cub sleeping on his mama. But not like in a Freudian way. Probably. Shit had gotten a little wacky after that, but it turned out that rocking a persistent semi when you're fighting for your life in a hell dimension just makes you stronger. Maybe it's the hormones. But of course, in the midst of the sexiest and bloodiest bat murder orgy Eddie had ever seen, Honourable Knight Steve Dumbass had gotten bit to shit. The lingering welts of Eddie's incredible stitching prowess torn asunder by flying hell rats. And Eddie took that personally. He fought side by side with Steve for the second time in his life and couldn't deny that it lifted some of the weight from his overburdened heart. There was even a moment near the end where they'd looked at each other amidst the carnage with a wry kind of humour like, well, here we are again. And it nearly felt like the bizarro version of the reunion he'd been dreaming of for months. Ultimately, the results of this mad dash into the underworld had Eddie realising he may not have been as fine as he'd hoped. He'd looked to Robin and Nancy, hoping to see similar horny anguish on their faces, but all he clocked between them was mild disgust and general battle lust. Fucking Philistines. The sucking chest wounds admittedly made the whole mess a tiny bit less sexy. He loved bloody Steve, but hurt Steve made him sad. You could never accuse Eddie Munson of being a man without layers. In the aftermath, he remembered Steve's promise to be his nurse next time, and wanted to curse the heavens for being so goddamn unfair. He'd been envisaging stockings, heels, and a deeply sexist skirt pulled thin across Steve's thick thighs. But nope. Eddie was apparently destined to be the nurse so long as Steve was thrusting himself into the midst of danger like he was paid to do it. With that thought fueling his movement, Eddie had stepped forward to take care of Steve like the old days, only to realise it was being handled. He was hit with a wave of year-old jealousy so bitter that he had lifted a hand to his chest, offended. Like a southern belle receiving unwanted attentions from a roguish out-of-towner. It was surreal watching someone else patch up Steve's abdomen. And it was probably unhealthy to be envious of a person patching up a bloody stomach wound. But Eddie had only managed to watch for a long moment before turning away, lost in the memories of Steve's fever-warm skin under his shaking hands, wondering how he got to a point in his life where he missed the feeling of someone else's blood on his fingers. Ultimately, Nancy was fine at improvised bandages, but the whole operation looked bare without some certified Munson appeal to frame it. So Eddie graciously donated his battle vest to the cause. Immediately after throwing it, he mused that he never got his jacket back from Steve. Harrington had left for the hospital unkissed and sporting Eddie's finest leather. And that's when it hit him. He could have gone to ask for his jacket back. What the fuck? That would have been a perfect, cute and flirty reunion like a year ago. Why is he only thinking of this now? Eddie repeatedly bonked his head on the trunk of the nearest hell tree. Unaware of the deep, deep turmoil Eddie was wrestling with in the background, Steve had accepted his fashion upgrade and limped off to do more hero shit. Eddie, shell-shocked and deeply disappointed in himself, followed behind. So that's how the end of the world went for Eddie Munson. There were unspeakable horrors to contend with on the daily, yada yada, but sometimes they were undercut by a shirtless guy who still, a year later, kept limping away from him without his goddamn permission. Steve fucking Harrington. Time bled together in the upside down to such a degree that Eddie couldn't tell if he'd been on the run for hours or weeks. The other three seemed familiar with the sensation and weren't especially perturbed, but that was probably because they were familiar with fucking everything. Eddie kept waiting for the moment that the switch would flip and he'd suddenly be a seasoned warrior like Steve and the Scoobies, but as the four of them waded deeper into hell, the more it became apparent that bravery wasn't a guaranteed prize at the bottom of every box. He'd thought he was the type that worked pretty well under pressure. Every time combat arose, which was often, He got ready to throw the proverbial bear trap at the proverbial Russians. But when the moment came, he'd just fucking freeze. Apparently, when he was the one in danger, his super spy instincts flickered out. Poof! Get fucked for some reason. To compensate, Steve kept stepping in front of him in battle and even directing him around murderous routes when the fighting was over. And as much as he wanted to be salty about it, he couldn't deny that without the frequency of Steve's hands touching his body, he would have gotten devoured moments after they plane shifted into the netherworld. He felt too small for his limbs. Awkward and ungainly in a way he hadn't been since middle school. A lot of the time he just wanted to sit down and cry for a bit. He resisted, but it was fucking hard. None of the others gave him shit about it. In fact, they were all achingly decent about it. Robin had even assured him that it was normal to break down a little right after finding out that monsters were real. But Eddie couldn't help but feel like he was getting an inspirational lecture on chronic erectile dysfunction. Oh, honey, it's fine. It happens to everyone. Yeah, well, apparently not, because Nancy Wheeler was 8 paces ahead, holding a Russian handgun and looking all the world like her figurative dick had been rock hard since the moment she dove through the portal. Sure, she'd done this before, but Eddie had seen Wheeler in the library making a scrapbook about endangered birds 2 weeks ago. Yet she shifted into murder mode like breathing. He needed to get his shit together. And if that wasn't enough, Eddie was starting to get the impression that Robin was onto him. He couldn't possibly imagine what had given him away. Maybe it was the fact that he was physically incapable of tearing his eyes away from Steve's ass every time the man stopped to catch his breath. That could have been a hint. Or it could be that he'd been clinging to every part of Steve's body like a lonely cephalopod. Maybe it was that. At first, Eddie just averted his eyes whenever he felt Robin staring at his staring. He would turn an attempt to cup Steve's neck into a casual tap, or swiftly remove his hand where it may have been sitting on Steve's shoulder too long to be anything other than intentional. Once, she caught him fiddling with Steve's earlobe, and in Eddie's opinion, that one was all on Steve. He had definitely crossed some sort of straight platonic line at ear touching, but Steve just kept letting him touch. If anyone had confronted him directly, he would have had an honest answer ready to go. The tactility was helping his nerves a lot. Genuinely. The deeper reasons would be kept between Eddie and Satan. But Satan must have been a fucking gossip, because as soon as they stopped to rest under a copse of petrified trees, Robin approached him. Steve and Nancy were busy trying to hand-draw a map of the area in the dirt and doing cool strategy shit. Eddie may have been able to contribute if he hadn't been physically, mentally, and spiritually tapped out. Hey. Robin sat beside him and tucked her chin onto her knees.
Hey.
Eddie's voice sounded like shit. These spores could not be good for the vocal cords. How you holding up, Garbanzo? Robin had gone down a pipeline over the last 24 hours of calling him Eddie, Eds, Edzo, and finally Garbanzo. She and Steve were perfect for each other. They were both fucking morons. He adored Robin. Eddie grunted, but knocked against her shoulder so she'd know the question wasn't unwelcome. They sat together for a bit, watching Steve and Nancy make hand gestures at each other. So, Robin began again. Eddie tensed a little, despite himself. Steve, huh? She prompted, leaving it open for interpretation. Eddie didn't respond. She didn't seem to mind. Well, until the silence had gone on for too long and she started getting wiggly. I get it, you know? Eddie scoffed. I know, trust me. He's like,
Tor.
This had Eddie pausing.
Sort of?
Robin squinted towards Steve.
No, you're right. Hold on. I've got it this time. He's got shoulders.
Eddie's mouth twitched.
Shoulders. Yeah! And arms?
He's got those too.
Yeah, and... She was squinting again. Okay, I see you staring at his ass all the time, but I'm going to be honest. I don't see it. He's so... boxy.
Eddie cackled. Jesus, Robin, are you even attracted to him? She froze.
Ugh.
And that had Eddie stopping in his tracks. Holy shit. Does he know that you're not attracted to him?
Poor Steve. Jesus.
Robin turned slowly to look at Eddie and directed a squint at him now.
He does know that? Yes?
Wait, what does that mean? Steve knew she wasn't into him? Was Robin dating him out of pity? Eddie did not have enough brain cells left to put together what was happening here.
Rob, I'm going to be real with you. I'm super fucking confused about this whole interaction.
Robin leaned back a bit and regarded Eddie critically. Nancy is pretty, yeah? Eddie pulled his eyebrows together and swiveled back to look.
I guess. I mean, yeah, obviously. She's got that, like...
He gestured.
Sort of Tinkerbell face going on. And the guns are cool.
Robin was looking at him significantly, and it clicked.
Oh, fucking hell. Steve was dating a closeted lesbian. This was great news, really. Their tromp through the underworld could only benefit from more interpersonal romantic strife.
But wait. She said he knew. Was Steve a beard? Eddie was thinking so hard Robin could probably hear the gears scraping together in his head. She took pity.
We're not dating, dipshit.
The gears crunched together and crumbled.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
She mimicked his voice and made him sound like an idiot. Rude. I can't believe you, of all people, fell for that shit too. Eddie tossed his hands up helplessly.
I mean, you guys are so good together. It seemed like a foregone conclusion.
That had her smiling a little. Yeah, we are good together. He's my best friend. A little ways in the distance, Steve had his hands on his hips and was nodding intently to something Nancy said. But Eddie couldn't help but notice how he kept glancing their way in between sentences.
You sure he knows you guys aren't dating?
Robin scoffed and stood, brushing hell dirt off her knees.
Yeah, dingus, he knows.
And he was, fine with it? She paused for a microsecond before offering Eddie a hand. He took it.
He was great about it.
She patted him on the shoulder and went back to join the other two. Steve greeted her with a hand on her lower back and a soft smile. And then he glanced over her shoulder, directly at Eddie. Steve winked and turned back to the girls.
Well, shit,
Eddie offered to no one. That was one of his best excuses to prevent himself from getting any more invested. And Robin just ruined it.
Son of a bitch.
From that point on, Eddie just stopped giving a shit. there was a very real chance one or all of them would be dead in the very near future, and by God, Eddie Munson was going to splay his dainty musician hands all over Steve Harrington until the instant it was no longer welcome. In fact, at that very moment, he had his entire body half-draped across Steve's back as he read a mysterious diary over his shoulder. He felt the now familiar gaze of one red-haired band geek in the background, but rather than retreating, he turned and met her stare head-on. Robin seemed taken aback for a moment, her eyes darting from Steve and back to Eddie, and then both of them again. And then she grinned like a fucking shark. Eddie had about 2 discrete seconds to think, "Oh wait, uh-oh," before she disappeared around the corner and slammed the door, leaving the two of them alone in a burnt-out bedroom. Steve didn't even notice her departure. They'd been exploring the Upside Down for some indeterminate amount of time now, and Steve seemed content to just experience the mysteries at face value. Right now, he was enjoying being very confused about how the dimension they were in somehow existed in a totally different year than the real world. Eddie settled tentatively back into place on Steve's back and listened to him mumble and swear about time travel. At one point, he said something about how it was all some Back to the Future bullshit, and Eddie snorted a laugh into Steve's neck. Steve had paused, going a little rigid. Eddie prepared himself to be dislodged, but then Steve had only tilted his head enough to send Eddie a fond-looking smirk over his shoulder. And really, at the end of the day, the real kick in the ass was Steve's goddamn face. All of the bloody dismembering and shirtless muscle manning was great, honest, but there would be moments when they'd be walking together and talking about nothing, when Eddie would look up to catch Steve staring. The tension would linger, taut and promising, and then snap like a worn guitar string. It was driving him fucking mad, but Steve just couldn't seem to stop staring at Eddie like he was something worth protecting. Eventually, they made their escape and toppled mind-bendingly back into a trailer that no longer felt like home. It was nice to see the kids and everyone together again, but it also sucked because the absence, brief as it was, forced Eddie to reconfront how fucking small they all were. Seeing Dustin's chipmunk cheeks grinning up at him made him want to cheer and cry simultaneously. Instead, he'd just grabbed the rope and gone to work living out his worst memories from gym class. It seemed like after they returned, chaos was destined to follow. Close call after close call propelled them ceaselessly to every checkpoint. They grasped at one another to keep sane and bonded in formations that Eddie couldn't have predicted. Robin sleeping on his arm between watches. Mayfield letting him gently wipe tears from her face. Even Nancy, tapping him awake at night in her familiar way just to ask him how he was doing and if she could help. An insane question after she'd been very recently possessed. But Steve, he'd started drawing back since they re-emerged onto planet Earth. Eddie was trying not to be weird about it. He'd noted it wasn't just him. Steve was barely responding to Robin at times. So he watched Steve pace and prowl and worry and didn't know how to fix it. He coped by hovering nearby and worrying right back at him. Maybe Steve saw the same writing on the wall that Eddie did. That this wasn't a war they were going to win. The final confrontation arrived in a blink. Everyone was arming themselves for battle with a fervour fuelled equally by the ominous questions of who would be taken next and who, in the end, wouldn't be coming home at all. Every plan they worked out had a sacrificial lamb involved, even if it wasn't titled as such. Someone who was going to be on top of the danger pyramid for the good of the rest of the party. Eddie had already decided that in his group, it was going to be him. He probably made that call the same night he'd gently escorted a bloody Steve Harrington into Bessie. He'd thought to himself, well, fuck, this is the way I go, I guess. And sort of never stopped thinking it. It felt natural to slide the cloak of sacrifice onto his shoulders. He was the odd one out here anyway. Everyone else had handled everything so well, while he'd just nipped at their heels and tripped up their feet. Eddie was hell's chihuahua. Ultimately, though, this shit was bigger than him. Bigger than his secret promises to Uncle Wayne. He knew that now after seeing just how far the vines of destruction could reach. And he was going to do everything he could to stop the tendrils before they could touch anything else he loved. Eddie prided himself on his imagination. You can't be a good DM unless you have a mind's eye for that shit. And right now, he could perfectly picture how this was all going to go. He and Dustin had been paired together on Team Diversion, which meant that no matter what happened, Eddie would do everything he could to be the lamb in Henderson's place. He envisioned the two of them clutching at each other as they were mauled to pieces. He imagined himself begging Dustin to run and leave him behind because no matter what happens, the kid needed to live. He saw it all as if it had already happened, and he knew the ending. But, as he was wont to do, Steve Harrington stepped forward and elected to fuck it all up. I'm with Eddie. The vision of his bloody end went blank. Eddie blinked. Everyone else groaned. Dustin hung his head. Steve, that's not the fucking plan. We just went over this for like an hour. This isn't musical chairs. Steve held up a hand to stop him, but said nothing. Dude was looking properly serious. The group quieted after some restless complaining. Dustin glanced around for support and, finding none, turned back to Steve. They appraised each other, and Steve crossed his arms across his chest. Sorry, Dustin. This isn't up for debate. Nancy is the real muscle anyway. She tilted her head across from them as if to say, true. The plan stays the same, except I go with Eddie. You stay with the main squad. Robin was staring directly at Eddie. Her eyes were bright and manic and weirdly victorious. He didn't know where to look, so he settled on twiddling his fingers together and intently examining the way the light glinted off his rings. You want to explain why to the rest of the table? Dustin wheedled. He was glancing over at Eddie too. Sweet kid obviously wanted to keep an eye on him. Eddie smiled into his shoulder so they wouldn't see him fucking tear up. Steve crossed the group and took up position by Eddie's side. Okay, seriously, what the fuck was going on? I'm already injured. Diversion makes more sense than muscle. Plus, I can carry the equipment faster and get us set up in less time. I know I'm usually the, Steve cast around for the word. The tank? But we need to be smart about this. Oh, fucking swoon? Dustin still looked grim, but his mouth twitched a little. All right, asshole. You don't have to butter me up with the nerd shit. He turned to everyone else. Anyone else got complaints? None. Everyone knew their job. All right, Steve, you're with Eddie. Dustin grinned toothily. Protect our bard, Tank Steve. Thusly ordered, the group split. So, that desperate to hang out with your old pal, eh? Steve laughed, strained. He was idly swinging his weapon of choice, an oddly familiar old hatchet. Yeah, guess I am. They moved together for a while in silence. Eddie's stomach was squirming in fear and the standard issue, oh my god, it's Steve, butterflies. Finally, Steve spoke up. I'm sorry, by the way. The sentiment was so out of left field, Eddie physically reeled back. For what?
Steve, holy shit, unless you came with me to murder me, I think you're grossly underestimating your contribution to my current liveliness. The skin around Steve's eyes had scrunched up a little, but his mouth was set.
I should have come to find you after I got out of the hospital. I kept hearing about how you were doing through the kids, but he shrugged. I regretted it. I'm sorry.
Eddie stopped in place. Hold up. Steve paused, quizzical.
If this, he gestured between them, is you paying me back for last year, that's a terrible reason to throw off the party's excellent strategizing, dude.
Steve was already shaking his head before he finished the sentence.
No, no, it's not like that, man. It's...
They started walking again.
You didn't leave me behind. Back at the cabin or in the woods, I would have been fucked, dude. I was fucked. And you kept coming back.
Still sounding like this is some pity collaboration, bud.
Give me a minute, Jesus.
Steve was finally smiling.
Just...
He looked upward, putting words in order.
You knew I needed help even though I didn't. You forced me to get help when I wouldn't. And it saved my life?
He trailed off and upward, reminiscing maybe. Then Steve reached out and grabbed Eddie's wrist. Eddie jolted a little.
Look... I didn't totally get your motivation then, and I don't need you to totally get mine, but we're a fucking team now. You deserve someone on your side who's in it for the long haul, and I guess...
I wanted to make sure I had a chance to be that person. Let me be selfish, dude. They stared at each other. The moment of truth approached, and they really didn't have time for it, but Eddie snagged Steve's forearm and pulled him tight into a hug. His eyes were burning. Steve Harrington. Jesus. They stood together for a bit, basking in the contrast of a warm embrace in the coldest dimension of hell. Eddie blinked a few times to clear his vision and stepped back.
Dustin was ready to come with me too, you know. He was slighted. You slighted him, Steve.
Steve dropped Eddie's wrist and rolled his eyes.
God, I know. He's going to give me so much shit when we get back.
Then Steve sent him a side eye. And we are making it back, to be clear. Eddie scoffed.
I don't know how you found it, but congrats on re-knitting my long-lost optimism sweater.
Steve stared at his back as he hopped to work setting up the amps. Eddie... I have no idea what the fuck that means. Steve watched him set up the equipment and, as promised, moved the heavy shit around as directed. He seemed curious about all of it and watched wide-eyed and visibly impressed as Eddie got all hooked up.
Did Wayne teach you to play guitar?
Eddie paused where he was freeing his gal from her case and sent Steve a curious look. Not entirely. I'm mostly self-taught. But he's definitely a big reason why I didn't give up after a week. He pulled his guitar pick free of his necklace and held it between his teeth.
Why do you ask?
He called down, muffled. Steve cleared some of the shrapnel away from the base of the trailer. He shrugged a shoulder.
I don't know. I played a little bit when I was younger, but my parents were never a fan.
Too much noise. Wayne seems like he'd be cool with it, though. And that raised a question that Eddie had been sitting on for almost a year. He pulled the pick from his mouth.
I meant to ask you back then, how do you know my uncle? You talk about him like you've met.
Eddie appreciated how Steve's cheeks gathered in a smile, even from the weird downward angle.
I did meet him once.
He moved a few grimy crates to the side of the trailer so Eddie could climb down in a hurry when the time came. Such a gentleman. Once they were secure, he went on.
I had a shitty dream one night when I was like 10. The house was freaking me out, so I went on a walk. Ran into him on his way back from work. I don't remember everything he said, but I do remember that he was super mad at my dad for letting a kid my age walk around on his own. Steve leaned back and stretched, then tilted his chin so he could see Eddie. I told him my parents weren't home, and he just got madder. He told me to get in his goddamn car, and he drove me back to the house. He dropped me off but couldn't really do anything else, so he just patted me on the shoulder and told me to ask for him at the plant if I ever needed anywhere to stay. Steve was looking past Eddie now. I never did, but knowing there was an out somewhere made some of the shittiest nights easier. Steve huffed and scratched the bridge of his nose. Their eyes met. Actually, you reminded me of him. That night you forced me into your van? I knew right away you guys were related. You're a lot alike. For a long moment, Eddie just looked down at Steve. That might be the nicest thing anyone has ever said about me. Steve laughed and pulled his goggles down over his eyes. Well, let's get the fuck out of here, and I'll come up with some more. Consider it an incentive. Yeah. Eddie snorted and got into position. As far as incentives go, that was actually pretty fucking compelling. Eddie had never played so furiously or so impressively in his fucking life. And of course it was when he had an audience of one human and about 30 million murder bats. Steve had climbed up beside him and was poised to wreck shop with the hatchet. If they survived this shit, he was going to commission an oil painting to recreate the scene on canvas. Things were going shockingly well. They drew the creatures away from their brave compatriots using the power of sick riffs, and Steve knocked them out of the sky when they got too close. The numbers just weren't in their favour. Steve saw the change right before Eddie did, and then he was yanking the plug out of the amps and yelling bloody murder into Eddie's ear. Okay, you did it. We gotta fucking go. Now! Eddie agreed. They scrambled off the trailer, swinging at the demons with whatever was within grabbing distance. The goal was to clear a path wide enough to sprint through, but the swarm was too fucking thick, and the first bite that landed on Eddie's arm had him gasping. How the fuck Steve was still up and fighting with half his abdomen chewed was beyond him. The little fuckers hurt. One bite became three, became 20, and Eddie couldn't even hear his own screaming over the blood rushing up to his ears. Steve went down for a second, and Eddie swung his sweet guitar like a battle axe, dispersing the hive mind just long enough for Steve to re-find his footing. And then barbarian mode was on, baby. Steve roared like a fucking beast and started smashing bat bodies to mush. The bloodlust must have been contagious because Eddie leaned into the terror and contributed to some truly heinous dismemberments. The swarm was thinning, and it felt like the tide could actually turn, but then the screeching of the bats fused into a harmonious crescendo and they parted like the Red Sea. As the bats moved, they revealed a boss-level motherfucker looming down on them with a mouthy appendage on its tail that swung like a spiked flail. And it was huge. Eddie, blooded and half-rabid, called a garbled warning to Steve, who swung around immediately. The whites of his eyes were freckled with red. Many of the smaller bats had retreated to relative safety. Maybe to count their missing legs, wings, and faces. But the big fucker yet approacheth, and it was looking real fucking pissy. And then it lunged. Steve and Eddie held their own for a good 8 minutes or so against the boss man and his mini mobs. Eddie's arms were burning with strain and blood. It was like he could feel the last of the adrenaline dribbling out of his ears. Steve looked slightly more alert, but each time the bat boss swooped and snapped at them, Eddie heard a familiar wheeze forced out of his lungs. Eddie had no idea how long it took for lungs to heal, but this seemed like a stellar way to exacerbate old wounds. And it had taken its toll. Eddie saw the tail move for Steve's vulnerable sides before he even registered it. So, paying off a blood debt about a week in the making, Eddie stepped in front of the blow. The searing teeth pressed into his stomach and past his rib cage like butter. For a second, he didn't even feel it. And then he was screaming. The bat went to pull back, but Eddie used the positioning to frantically snag the smooth space above the mouth. He dug his fingers in deep and held on for dear life. Probably literally. Steve was shouting his name and swinging at the thing with what appeared to be all of the force left in his body. And no one could withstand the full force of Steve Harrington's beautiful, beautiful body. The hatchet shattered through the thick skull of the primary head and squelched atrociously as it smushed the bat's brain to pudding. Steaming gore spit and splattered across the battlefield. Steve didn't quit swinging until the twitching stopped. The teeth slid quietly out of Eddie's gut and he dropped to his knees. Steve was beside him an instant later, pulling off his shirt and vest. He bunched the vest on the wound and tore the shirt to tie it in place. Fuck! Shit, Eddie, that went deep! Pictured you saying that under different circumstances, if I'm honest, Eddie gurgled. The pain was so overwhelming that it just sort of turned into a steady hum. His nerves were overloaded. His vision faded a little and Steve slapped at his cheek to keep him focused. It didn't work. Eddie's head lolled to the side and he smooched at the hand cupping his face. Hey there, pretty thing. Shit. Okay, Ed, we need to get you help. This is gonna suck. Hold on tight. He was being lifted. Whee! He murmured, and Steve laughed, high and anxious. It took some struggling to get Eddie draped across Steve's back, but the king managed. Eddie could feel his hands shaking with effort. They were both on their last legs here. All right. Come on, Rockstar. We need to get the fuck out of here. And they were off. Steve's shoulders were damp with sweat. Eddie lazily drew a finger through the wet hair at the nape of his neck. Hey man, we should probably start talking last words. No, no fucking way. We're gonna be fine, Ed. It's all gonna be fine. Okay, but if it's not... Eddie, dude, please. Steve, I know you have a will in your closet. Eddie heard Steve's jaw click shut. I didn't have the foresight, so you're my will, asshole. You gotta listen up. Steve dropped his head for a second and then took a deep breath. He stared forward and nodded. Eddie started ticking stuff off on his fingers. They blurred in and out in front of him and he glared until they steadied. Tell Wayne I love him. Duh. Give Gareth my guitar. I'll know what to do with her. There's a blue shoebox under my bed at the trailer. Burn it. You can look in it first if you want, but it'll probably fuck with your sweet suburban sensibilities. A damp sounding huff of laughter. Jeff is the new frontman of the band. I don't actually get to make that call, but he'll never have the confidence to step up and take it for himself, so I'm ordaining it. A nod. Give Dustin all of my D&D shit. All of it. I have like 30 books and a shitload of minis in my closet. He gets the lot. Steve had picked up the pace and was nearing a jog, but he nodded dutifully. Eddie trailed off as his vision whited out a little. Jesus, he'd lost a shitload of blood. Steve gripped Eddie's thighs a little tighter, which helped ground him. He had such nice hands. If he had to die, at least it was with Steve squeezing his thighs.
Nothing for me?
Eddie pulled himself out of the fog with a mumble.
In your will.
Steve's voice was shaking. Maybe from the exertion of carrying Eddie, or maybe not. He had a point.
Yeah, good call.
Shit. Well, whatever.
You get the truth, man.
Steve crested a hill and his knees buckled, but he pulled back upright at the last second.
The truth?
A question kicked out between wheezes. Eddie's vision was going again, and he felt like he couldn't pull in enough air. His fingertips felt far away and cold, even on Steve's overheated shoulders.
Yeah.
A wet cough.
The truth is, I have a big fucking crush on you, dude.
And then Eddie was out.